Good morning, lads. How are you, Jerry and Owen?
If you start the day with a good energy.
Good morning, Jerry and Owen. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, good.
Good morning, Jer, Colm, Owen. I'm admiring your backdrop.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Been a big weekend. It's Monday. A lot of football last weekend, lads. We've got no Eamon McGee and Owen Mulligan to carry us this evening.
They did a good job on Friday, to be fair. Great guests.
Jesus, good guests.
Just they were a good combo as well, weren't they? They were a good combo. They were hopping
off. Big double act.
In fairness, they had some amount of stories. Like they could pull a story out of absolutely nowhere. Two absolutely phenomenal guests, I must say. Now, very entertaining, and two nice fellas as well, weren't they?
Great lads.
I'd never met Owen or Eamon before, and I just thought they were two sound fellas, very funny, two characters.
Great crack afterwards as well. Good night. A great bloody night. As we knew it would be in the Northwest.
Yeah. Thank God we can't record the Green Room or the post show points chat. But it's nice to get that.
That's a good thing.
It's nice to get that little bit of a chat beforehand, isn't it? Like the lads came down and joined us early. We had a beer before the show, got us all settled and ready. Then my pre-show nerves kicked in about 5 minutes beforehand. I think I unsettled the room a bit, but we were okay once we got going.
You need your own dressing room before these shows. Your nerves, it rubs off on everyone else. It's like, relax, man. Have three more pints and then go on stage.
You did about 50,000 steps walking around the room.
Hey, and didn't everything go all right in the end?
We got there, Tommy.
You played a blinder.
Yeah, you too, boys. Great show. And thanks to everyone who came out and joined us. AIB helped us put on the show and brought us on the road. I will have news later this week about a very, very, very big show that we've got coming up with AIB later this summer. We're actually going to release our tickets early this year. Last year, we released them the Monday after the semi-finals, and they sold out within 12 hours. So giving you a heads up to keep an eye on the Football Pod channels this week. The Instagram page, our Twitter page, will probably be the first place you see it. The tickets will be released early this time around, so snap them up, and we'll see you in Crow Park. But yeah, we had a nice crew out. There was a few people hanging around the hotel reception in the Mount Errigal Hotel afterwards, and we were chatting to a few stragglers, and then a few of them followed us into town. And I think Saturday evening then, Paddy, you were still standing. You were still going strong at the Donegal Tyrone game.
I was kind of sick last week, so I didn't have all my energy on Friday night, which probably wasn't a bad thing. I was in bed earlier than the rest of the crew.
I tapped you on the shoulder at about 12:30 and I said, go on, you've had a tough week, go on to bed with yourself. And next morning I wake up to a tweet. I knew you slipped away home. Paddy Andrews spotted getting a kebab at 2:15 in Letterkenny. Is that true?
That's on Twitter.
Yeah, let me see. Maybe it wasn't 2:15. Maybe it was 1:30. You got the
kebab. See, you're embellishing this. You were listening to Bugsy and Eamon McGee too much. You're adding a bit to this story. No, I don't eat kebabs, so that's definitely not true. I did get chips, though.
I bumped into Canavan in the press box. I'm not sure if you saw him. Yeah.
After, I was chatting to him at the match on Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, but he had got wind that Muggsy was telling tales, and he said, the man hasn't remembered half the texts that he sent from my phone, but I remember every single one of them. So we might try and get Peter to a roadshow down the line and see if we can get a few more of those tales. But yeah, that was definitely one of my favourite ones, the Adidas yarn. Like, but there was a couple of other clinkers as well. Like McGee and Cassidy going to find Owen Mulligan at the homecoming in 2005 is one of my favourite things of all
time. That is classic. What age were they in that time?
Early 20s, maybe.
That's right. That is brilliant. Going to another team's homecoming.
Just because they thought the Mulligan was just a great crack.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. Unreal. Yeah.
I had some disaster of a day Saturday, though.
Why?
I had to get home.
You should have come to the beach with me Saturday morning, Jimmy. That penalty brushes off the cobwebs. I was driving and everything. It was your chauffeur for the weekend. Like.
Man, you should have seen the taxi drive I got from the Mount Errigal to the airport.
Oh, why?
It was hour of the windiest, hilliest road I've ever been.
It is a tough road. I was offering.
The taxi driver, right? Could not decide what gear he wanted to be in. He was going from first to second to third to fourth, back down again. I was like, man, do you want me to drive this fucking gear for you?
You were so used to the smooth, serene drive up on Friday in my Jeep.
That's it. Like, I was used to the right carpet treatment. Then he didn't know the way, right? The taxi driver didn't know the way to the airport. And obviously all the signposts were airport. And his eyesight mustn't be great because every signpost he saw with an A on it, he stopped to look to see did it say airport. And I was like, I'd say keep going straight. No, not this one, not this one. I was giving the taxi driver directions. Then the flight was delayed. The flight was delayed then from Donegal down to Dublin. Landed down in Dublin with 15 minutes left in boarding and I had to leg it.
Well, my favourite text of the weekend was, Jesus, lads, Dublin airport's fucking massive. It was like a little boy lost in the big city.
I was trying to make the flight. I was honestly so close to just saying, do you know what, I've missed. And I said, no, just in case, I'll keep going. Flight was 3:30 and I got there 20 past.
I know you're giving out here, right? I know you're giving out, but I would like to have it on the record that you went home and you rushed home for your club. That's why you rushed home.
That's true, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You played that night?
Played second half.
Well, fair play to you, boys.
Because I'll tell you what, I felt it the following day.
I got a fair bit of grief off the Cratloy boys for missing our game, which we lost. So, you know, you're a better GA man than me, James.
This new role has got to your head. And Spear, Tommy's a great man for telling stories about us. We were at Bally Buffet on Saturday afternoon. What was it, about 4 o'clock before we were going on air? And we were down at the pitch. And Tommy can only be described as stumbling down the terrace of McGill Park. He tripped up nearly 3 times on the way down, waving at us. And I was like, this fella, you needed to go home to bed. 4 o'clock the next day. Honestly, Jimmy, it was like the stewards are getting worried about him.
I was fine then. I was grand. But the best part of it, I was in Galway then the next day. I was covering the hurling, so I managed to get a little B&B halfway down the road. But it was an early check-in in this B&B, a lovely one in Grange in County Sligo. And I rang him and I was like, geez, I'm not going to make 8 o'clock. I'm not going to be out until about 11. And he goes, not a bother. He goes, I'll leave your key under the flower pot and your room number is whatever. But it was the middle of the game. Totally forgot which flower pot, totally forgot which room. And after the game, the Donegal press officer were like, listen, Jim is getting the team out of here ASAP. I've never seen a team leave a stadium as quickly as Donegal did the last day. But they said, you're more than welcome to come back to Convoy and do the interviews there. Another 40 minutes back the road. But we got there. We got the
Which
chat
direction?
Down.
Were you going 40 minutes the right direction or the wrong direction?
The other direction. But I would like to say thank you to Thomas, right? In the B&B, who I landed down after midnight and didn't he make me tea and toast? By God, Paddy, I needed that. It was the only thing I'd say I had all day. So fair play to
him. I was on the road, 3.5 hour spin back to Dublin. But that the things we do for this pod and to cover the championships.
Hey, it's worth
above
it.
Above and beyond, eh?
Can I make a little point about Donegal's recovery and the manner in which they exited Bally Buffet and the buzz that was around them as they were getting beeped off the field and the buses.
So hype at the stadium.
Waving through the traffic. Yeah, there was. There's an aura about them. Afterwards, back in Convoy, I don't think I'm breaking any privileges here because I asked McGuinness about it. All the players, I got back there about 45 minutes later, had an ice cream cone and were walking around smiling and chatting. Was that something he ever did? Ice cream after a match.
After a match, you can eat whatever you want.
I just thought it was a cool little touch.
Desserts, you name it, after a match, yeah.
Yeah,
I suppose even on the nutritional side, sure, all you're getting in is you're just looking to get as much sugar and stuff in, aren't you? It's probably not the worst thing to eat. Don't they say you can? The time if you ever want to eat Cocoa Pops is after a session, after training, you can load
every
up
morning, anything you want.
Huh?
Every morning with the Cocoa Pops,
you couldn't beat it in the morning. Huh?
Every morning I have those babies, a pot of Cocoa Pops.
we might have to get a nutritionist with that. But I just think even the psychological aspect of it, like smiles in the faces, everyone buzzing, they're rolling into the game in Cork now next week. You know, there's just something about them at the minute. And Paddy, I think I'm right in saying that on Friday night, you said neither of these two are contenders for the All-Ireland. After you experienced what you did on the sideline, would you change your tune on Donegal at touch?
No, I don't
really. Jesus, I'm convinced.
I thought they were very good the other night. I thought it was their best performance since the Derry game.
Sorry, I never asked you where they're going to win it. I asked you where the contenders.
Of course, they're contenders. They're contenders, but are they going to win the thing? I don't think Donegal will win the All-Ireland. No. The Ulster champions, and of course they're going to be in the mix. And the start they got the other night as well, they're through the group. It's just a case of whether they go down to Porky Red on Saturday night. Cork have the extra week's rest. They had a brilliant win. The pressure's off a little bit after their win in Cusack Park against Clare. But you have to think, if Donegal go there with any sort of performance, that a similar performance that they got on Saturday night against Tyrone, they'll win that game and they'll top the group. So, of course, they're contenders to win the All-Ireland, but I don't think they will. But that's not to say their performance the other night. I thought they were the better team the whole way through. I really enjoyed the game. The atmosphere was class. It just showed yet again, as we were all in agreement, anyone who talked is in agreement, playing these games in provincial venues where there's a sellout, the buzz, the atmosphere, an hour before throwing around Ballybuffet and in the stadium was class. And it was a really good game. I really enjoyed it. They were 10-9 up at half time. Tyrone were kind of hanging in there, which to their credit, they got some brilliant scores. But you could just feel Donegal's relentless nature, their game plan, their attack, just runners from deep, the energy the players are playing with. They were going to pull away, and that third quarter they really had too much for Tyrone. So for me, I said it after the match out there, I thought it was their best performance since the Derry win in the Ulster quarter final, okay. And they were full value for it.
Alright, I want to come back and have a bit of a chat about this Donegal Tyrone game, but we're going to take a break now in a moment. I am going to play you a clip from the Football Pod live on Friday night, and if you haven't had a chance, because there's a big weekend of sport, Leinster again falling short in the rugby, so you may have missed it on Saturday, and
I had a bad.
Man United won the FA Cup. Anyways, so if you haven't watched the Football Pod live from last Friday night with Eamon McGee and Owen Mulligan, you're in for a treat. I'll leave you with this clip now, just a little taster. This is one of my favourite moments of the night. Have a listen to this and we'll be back after the break.
OTB GAA.
I think the Derry game, like nobody called it. Nobody called it.
No.
Nobody called it. It was great. McGuinness was back. But it was Derry's downfall as well.
Tyrone,
I totally agree with Big McGee there. Fucking what he called up the right hand side, did a chance to go four ahead, and Sean O'Donnell turns back. The ball was there inside. The ball was inside. Armagh, 4 points up. To protect that lead with 7 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go, was crazy. They kept going back side to side, gave the ball to Mackin. He's done for over Kerry. That was the start. That's all Donegal need. That's all Donegal need. They're like an old ex-girlfriend that never goes away. Yeah. What, you know what I mean? Like,
what's Donegal? And when you say that now, and
you know,
I see
you
traits.
Know what I mean, like. They're always there, texting you.
You're woman's in the crowd here.
Hoping you on Facebook, people.
You know.
And I think Donegal are seeing, you see traits of, you know, Niamh Connell have been the main team, and like that, you just never have them beat. They're always coming back, and you're starting to see traits more so in this time under McGuinness than our time, because we got a hammering in 13, and I think there was a few hammerings, and there's a trait in that Donegal team where they're just not beat, and I think that's
McGuinness gets obviously innovation and all that stuff. The biggest thing I've seen from this, I don't think Donegal have played that well since that Derry game. I think Tyrone probably should have beaten them. Brendan McCall gets a score in last kick of the game to bring the extra time. They're probably down and out. The atmosphere closed. They're 4 points down. You guys were there. Mm-hmm. Niall O'Donnell kicks 2 monsters, scores everywhere it's on.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But Donegal kick it. That intangible of there's resilience about Donegal now because they believe. And I know that it's hard to put a price on that. They were gone.
But you boys, how many Leinster medals did you win? Quickly.
Fuck, I don't know.
120.
You haven't a clue. You don't know, right?
Because that's what's. That's
but the difference is, like, to win an Ulster title, I don't know whether you said the shackles used to come off. You get through Ulster, and when you could play Kerry and Croke Park, the shackles would come off, and you might play a bit more football. I think there's an element of the Ulster teams because that title is so coveted. They play a certain style or they play a certain way in Ulster because the games are so tight and close.
Tommy, I completely agree. And that's why I think that on paper, right, Tyrone are probably better than Donegal at the moment, right? But when Donegal when Donegal go and play a team from maybe a Kerry or maybe a Dublin, I think that they're able to adapt that tiny bit better. I agree that in Ulster, it's one tournament. And it's so hard to win that fucking tournament. Like, it's impossible to win it. Once you win one, it's incredible. But then you need to completely change your game almost to come down. Mm. Like you even said in the 20s.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have to start kicking the ball and be a bit more open. But the one thing that I think about this whole thing is there's two games at the moment going on in the championship. There's the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. That's its own game. And then the final quarter is something completely different.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's something completely different because in that final quarter, you need different personalities. You need fellas who are going to be brave, who are going to take shots, who want to take that risk of a pass, maybe across. Yeah. Even if you look at the All-Ireland final last year, McCaffrey hit that pass across the square. Do you remember with the left leg pass to Pascal? Like, you need, in the last quarter, you need those big plays. So it's fine being, the first three quarters are almost preparation to then go and do the business in the final quarter. Like the top teams will do that.
Just on James's point, look at Niall O'Donnell and that last quarter, where he had the pop, and he just wanted to get on ball, and it was just Armagh were kind of retreating within themselves.
I loved the moment in that game because I can imagine what Ben Creedy might have said to him. He probably said to him, "Shoot," when he kicked that point.
And you see afterwards, it was unreal. It was unreal.
You see afterwards, O'Donnell laughing like, "I did you."
That's the mentality you're chatting about in terms of that. It's grand. You can do, you know, have a pop in the first 5 minutes and. Yeah. From the sideline or outside the boot. Do it
when
in the last 5 minutes.
Line,
do you have the balls to do it then? Like?
All right, we're back. Proper stories from the boys all night, wasn't there?
There was. And good delivery, in fairness.
Yeah, Mugsy. They know what they're doing. They've set the standard for the year of Football Pod Roadshows, and we will have to deliver in Croke Park, like we did last year with Paul Galvin and Keane O'Sullivan. We'll be back again this year, the Thursday night before the All-Ireland final. Tickets going on sale later this week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Paddy, you set the tone there on the Donegal performance against Tyrone. The bloody tunnel in Ballybuffet is tight. And you can see why there's been rows and trouble and fights there over the years. The one thing about Tyrone, right, that definitely put it up to them. They stayed with them for a bit. But I thought there was a lack of a bit of fire in the belly or a bit of a spark or a bit of even tension in the ground on Saturday night that Donegal, once they got on top, just blew them away. Is that a bit unfair on a young Tyrone side?
No, there wasn't much of a Tyrone crowd there, which was the surprising thing. You know, it was 90%, probably even more Donegal supporters that filled out the stadium. That just shows the buzz and the anticipation around the Donegal team. Tyrone still have very senior players, obviously Morgan and Gall, Hansi at fullback, Matty Donnelly at centre backs. So they do still have a spine of experienced players who've been there and done it, have won all Ireland as well. I thought they did well to hang in there with Donegal. You know, McCurdy got a couple of big scores off his right foot, which is not normally what you'd expect. I thought it was McGeary's best game, certainly in an attacking sense, that we'd seen since he won Player of the Year 3 years ago, which was a plus. The drawback for Tyrone is that Peter Hartwood was back. He came on, but he wasn't able to start the game. And Derek Hanover was just, he's so integral to what they do. He's an incredible player. But he probably had it. Well, he did. He had an off night in front of the post, and if he's not kicking, you know, you're 7 or 17 or 8 points from play, which he has the capacity to do. Tyrone were going to struggle, and he got the sense, even though there was only a point in it at half time, you know, Tyrone were hanging on. Donegal had probably three real goal chances in the first half, which he didn't convert. Canavan himself had a brilliant. It would have been an incredible goal if he scored it.
Yeah.
But you just got the sense Donegal were a better team throughout, And that third quarter, they really kind of started to make it show. And just that relentless nature of their running game. They're patient on the ball, kind of led by Tom Michael Langan and McGee were exiting the midfield again. But Langan, Thompson, Paddy McBrearty playing out a bit. That they get bodies up the pitch, in deep and out wide. And they'll keep the ball and they are just recycling, recycling, recycling until someone switches off.
What about
and the they one got name. That that's what they got, Joy. Go on.
The one name you're missing there, Pat Amogan.
Pat Amogan's the striker. So that's what they're waiting for. So Bon Gallagher gets a score in the first half, cuts out McGeary, just switches off. They were, you know, you can kind of hear them talking on the pitch. Darren McCurry's greatest strength is not kind of tracking runners at pace going back to his own goal, and you could just see they'd recycle the ball and wait for the likes of Bon Gallagher or Patrick Morgan, Roy McHugh to a lesser extent, to just break that line and get a score from the top of the D. And Morgan was the biggest beneficiary of the other night. He gets 3 brilliant points for play. He was incredible. But that was Donegal's plan, and it worked very hard to stop. If you switch off for a second, they have the runners to punish you. That's the kind of 100 miles an hour they've played at, and we spoke about on previous shows, but it was very evident the other night. Slightly different game. You know, Oisín Gallagher probably wasn't getting as much, certainly not in the first half, kick passes inside. It was very much, we're going to target basically someone switching off the Tyrone defence, and then we're going to hit the gaps at pace, which they did. And they have to, it suits the players they have. You know, Niall O'Donnell and Shane O'Donnell were probably a little bit quieter than they had been in the Ulster final, but the other night it was Bon Gallagher and Patrick Morgan for me. It's a very hard way to play. You need to be really, really fit to stop it. You need to be concentrating 100% of the time for the 70, 75 minutes. And Tyrone just weren't able to keep that up. And Donegal just wore them down in that third quarter. And then Tyrone weren't great in the second half anyway, but you know, Donegal style play is hard to stop.
James, are we getting too excited about this train coming from Donegal at the rest of the country?
No, I don't think we are. I think they have a good chance of going deep. Like, they've got this momentum. As you said, they've got this belief behind them that is powerful. It's like they all feel like their time is now, which is, that can be powerful when you actually believe that. But just on Patrick Morgan, like, the danger he creates for them is frightening from wing back. If you look at where he actually ends up kicking his points from, right, he's starting out at, say, maybe the 5 slot, taking on his man. And we say, when you take on your man out the field, I always say how dangerous that is. How Monaghan got Joy off it against Dublin. If you can take on a man and inject pace into the attack at that stage, it's so dangerous. And if you see from where he started to where he actually ends up, top of the D, chipping it over the bar, they're actually goal chances if they're stuck in a game. Like, if they're a couple of points down, he could easily go another step, a defender come out to him, and he slips someone in for a goal. Like, the actual attacking options they have from everywhere on the field is so dangerous.
It wasn't just Morgan. Donegal were targeted. That's, they created depth and width on the sidelines. They wanted to get all their shots from the D. And like I say, he was the biggest beneficiary of it. There was a couple others. Roy McHugh gets one. Bal Gallagher gets one in the first half. Paddy McBrearty as well.
But the
that
pace,
is where
Paddy,
they're targeting at the shots. The pace
he arrives into the D at. Like, if you're a defender, you're thinking, do I step out and go to him and possibly leave a little slip pass, or do I just leave him chip a point? I think if he can rattle a goal and just put fear into teams, they won't know what to do with him.
It's not just pace, James. It's aggression. It's conviction. It's incision. Like, you can have all the pace in the world, but Morgan can do something with the ball when he does break through.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he looks just a player at the top of his game, just playing very well. I must say, do you know, for Canavan's goal chance, they worked it. Well, they actually worked some lovely moves. Again, McCurry and Canavan actually played some nice stuff as well. You know, they interlinked for a couple of chances. But yeah, just for Canavan's goal chance, I think he's going a pace kind of past the defender. I think he kind of takes a shot a half a second early, just as the defender puts his hand on his shoulder and puts him a tiny bit off balance. I wonder if he just delayed the shot half a second and kind of absorbed the contact a little bit. Because when he shoots, the defender hits him on the left shoulder, I think, and just spins his body and he hooks the shot too far wide then.
He did well to get back.
It was actually very good defending, because a tiny touch like that onto your shoulder when you're going to pace and trying to pull the trigger is all it takes to put you off. But he's so dangerous around there as well, in fairness to Canavan. He can get in for a goal chance in no time.
Yeah. Tyrone have Clare this weekend, so they'll be targeting that. They hooked off two young lads, Ben Cullen and Rory Canavan, at half time. They brought on Joe Goose, a bit more size, I suppose, around the middle third, Paddy. While they stayed in touch, do you think Tyrone can make an impact in the rest of the championship? Do you think if they get through the group and into the Premier League quarter final, they can get things together here?
Yeah, we said they have potential. Like I say, I thought probably more surprised with taking off McCurry and Kyle Kilpatrick in that kind of, at the towards the end of the third quarter. It hadn't gone well for Tyrone, but they were still in the game at that point. I think it was 4 points at that stage. Was in it. And you're kind of thinking Kilpatrick, who was quiet, to be fair. We know, again, the potential, the levels he can play at. I thought McCurry was doing all right. Like, say, Donegal were probably targeting him on transitions, going back to his own goal, but he was clipping a couple of scores. So that was just interesting calls. The big thing for Tyrone, that's the hardest game for them out of the way in the group, Donegal away. They'll fancy, if they are going to do anything, they've got to beat Clare at home and then beat Cork in the neutral venue. And that gives them, you know, a whole preliminary quarter final, which they'd fancy their chances against anyone. Like I said, they're not all Ireland contenders. But can Tyrone get to a quarter final and possibly pull off an upset? Of course they can, but we said it all along, all season, lads. The question marks around Tyrone's consistency and performance, which is difficult to get when you've got young players in the team. That's understandable. But we've always said it. The caveat with Tyrone is there is quality in that team. And if there's a day where they all get hot and McCurry and Canavan go off, and Morgan and Matty Donnelly and these guys have games probably that they were able to have maybe a year or two ago, Tyrone could take a big team out, 100%. But they don't absolutely have enough to win five or six big games on the spin, which is what they need to do if they're going to be get into an All-Ireland, which, look, they're not. I don't think anyone expects that from Tyrone, but they need to win this weekend and then try and take out Cork in a neutral venue, or at least give them a better chance of getting into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, okay.
They have a bit of trouble at both ends of the field, though, I think, because even they're getting bodies back, but Donegal chipped 21 points. Like, and
20 points is a lot. Plus goal chances that they missed.
You'd set targets, maybe concede maybe 6 or 7.5, keep the opposition down to 12 or 14. Like, 21 is, that's a lot of scoring for someone who's supposed to be set up defensively. And I think in attack, they're a bit slow. If you look at the way Donegal can inject pace from anywhere, I think the only person injecting pace for Tyrone is Canavan. And McCurry at times, but mostly Canavan.
He's closest to goal. You need, like, nearly runners from deep, and you're not going to get that out of Kennedy or Kilpatrick. Like, I thought Kieran McGeary was his best. He scores 3 points, but he's not lightning quick, but he's a smart player. Like,
there's no fear. If you have that raw pace,
you don't. Nobody likes playing against that. The Tyrone don't really have that anywhere in the pitch for me.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about both of these in our members pod later this week, where we're going to have a look at the weekend ahead. Just a final word on Donegal. A shout out to Aaron Moore GA. They won the All-Ireland tournament this weekend. So a big deal getting that job done. And
a beautiful island. I spent the summer with Aaron Moore back in the game.
Did you?
I talked to Clash to Aaron Moore. Yeah.
No way.
Three and a half weeks. Up there, got the ferry over from Dunglow many moons ago.
Wow.
Beautiful place. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we could get a roadshow in there sometime.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We'll have to fly. We'll fly that time.
Yeah, you're definitely having to fly to there.
And Cabortas Pelena Gaeltachta is taking place over the next week as well. So there are a lot of GA tournaments on at the moment. A lot of great stuff happening in and around the intercounty season. So be keeping an eye out on all of that. Let's touch briefly on the other games this weekend. We'll come back to Dublin Roscommon in a moment, Paddy. I know you had an eye on that while you were in Ballybuffet. James, you had a Legion game on that evening, so we'll forgive you for just catching the highlights. There were only highlights of the Armagh Westmeath and the Louth Meath game. So I sat here last week and I said I thought Meath could put in a performance and come away with a draw from Inniskeen. I did not think that they were going to beat Louth. God, Louth gave them some whooping.
It's a good.
They really
it's
did.
A good dusting, really, isn't it? They it's did the damage tournament. Early as well. The defending, before we get defending in, for the first goal was just was all over the place, weren't they?
Yeah, they were cut open a few times. Right,
a clever run, but he got the ball almost standing still on the penalty spot nearly with nobody on him. You know, it allowed the well to actually execute the chances they had and get the goals and do the damage when they got the chance. Because sometimes when teams have a purple patch and they don't actually put teams away, it can come back to bite them. But once Loud had any of those chances, they put them all away. Game was done then.
Yeah. Craig Lennon's first goal was a hell of a goal. Again, cut through very easily, but he took it very well. He had a beautiful dummy in the build-up. Talking about Muggsy this week with the dummy, you know, he sold him well and buried it. And second goal then, opportunistic, taking the ball off the post. That buried Meade, like at that stage. Like, Meade had actually started quite well. I think they were 4-1 up at one stage. They even responded okay to the first goal. They got the next point. But yeah, sucker punch after sucker punch, and they just couldn't reduce the gap in the second half. So Ger Brennan has continued the good work that Loud team have built up over the last couple of years. The progression continues. They play Monaghan next. Meade face Kerry at home. Just a word before we move on from this one. Matthew Costello's father passed away the morning of that game. Paul Costello, he'd suffered from illness over the last year. So thoughts with all the Costello family and those in Dunshaughlin. But the strength, again, of Matthew Costello to go out and play. And he kicked the first point of the day as well. A whopper of a point.
Screamer.
Yeah, so I'm sure it was a strange feeling in the Meade dressing room. And for Matthew to go out and represent his family the way he did, should be commended. So fair play to him. The Meade team are definitely up against it this week. Quick turnaround. Kerry coming to town. Kerry definitely shifted through the gears in that game, that win against Monaghan. I think there won't be much fear going into Navan this weekend.
James? No, I think yeah, that result is not going to be good for the Meade lads in terms of mentally. Do you know, you want to be going into that Kerry game on a bit of a high. But if you're looking down the line, you're saying that Louth could now finish. They have a good chance of finishing second in the group. Right, but you know what might count against them is that home venue that they don't have. So if they come second in the group, that they'll
probably
they
take Navan. They love Navan. They just didn't want to play Meade and Navan, which I totally understand.
Yeah, but I mean, still, like the home advantage is an unbelievable advantage to have. Like if you're bringing them into your own town, like, but having that, it's just a little thing that'll go against them. You know, but I think they'll beat Monaghan, and they'll come second in that group then.
Yeah, and then it'll be down to, if it did go that way, it'd be down to a Meade Monaghan shootout in the final day to try and sneak into that third place. But Paddy, like, one of the things that Eamon McGee said on our roadshow on Friday night, and yes, I would be referencing our roadshow for a couple of weeks because some of the stories are great. But one of the things he spoke about was, you know, the drinking culture back in the 2000s for Donegal was one thing, but we were also missing something else. And it was steel. Like, that's not a quick fix. And it just seems to be something that, while it's a young Meade group, they might be lacking a bit of that steel.
Yeah, look, I think it's a bit of both. You do need maybe players who are naturally inclined to play that way, that edge in their play. It's rare enough young players have that at senior level. You know, you're going in and you're nearly in awe of playing against, you know, well-established senior players who you've been watching on telly for the last couple of years. You know what I mean? And then just the actual biology of it. You're playing against guys who have lifted weights and training at that level for years ahead of you. You know, and Loud, we said this a couple of weeks ago, are a physically dominant team all over the pitch. You know what I mean? It's going to be very hard for young players in Meade or any of the counties. You know, you're going up playing wing back, picking up Conor Grimes. You know, Loud are a very, very well physically developed team. That's one of the strengths to their bow. Look, they've other attributes. They're so well organised. They've got quality forwards as well. We said even before, probably maybe 6 weeks ago, they were probably trending towards being the second best team at Leinster. I think they've shown that with their performance in the Leinster final by beating Clare in the semi final. Yeah. And then the group draw, we said they're probably the second best team in that group. And the first part of that was going out and being a dominant, giving a dominant performance against Meade, which they've done. You have to say, on everything we've seen in the championship alone over the last couple of months, they'd be strong favourites against Monaghan. You know, Monaghan's performance against Cavan wasn't great, and then it was diabolical against Kerry. I'd say the only way is up, but look at the momentum and confidence that Loud team is playing with. They went in, I wasn't giving me much of a chance last week. I felt Loud to win the game, and they went out and they did the business. So, for me, there's not a lot of positives they can take from that game. You know, they would have felt they maybe within the camp that they get a little bit closer to Loud, but it does come.
Well, they bet them in the league 8 weeks ago. You know, when they were four points down just after half time, they turned it around. So, yeah, it's just
it comes down to that Monaghan game. I know it's a glamour game to have Kerry coming to Navan at the weekend, but I'd worry for me in that match. Particularly where Kerry are going to be ruthless. They're going through their own gears. They're not going to be worried about me not playing well, or as the Jack O'Connor would be like, we had 35 minutes against Monaghan. We want to get it up to 50 odd minutes against Meath, and they'd be ruthless. I think that could be a really, really tough day for Meath this weekend.
Talking about the gears, 48 minutes on the clock at the weekend, Dermot Murtagh makes it 13-12. With 64 minutes on the clock, it's just 17-13 between Dublin and Roscommon. Suddenly, the final score is 219-13, and it looks like the Dubs have just absolutely battered them. What was your reading of that game?
I thought it was quite an enjoyable game, actually. I think both teams, lots of kick pass. It was very direct, very different from the following game, the Donegal Tyrone, where there's a lot of guys carrying the ball. I thought both attacks were well on top. I thought Roscommon struggled with Dublin's attack, and I don't think there's any doubt in the first half, in particular Dublin, particularly the full backline, struggled to deal with the Roscommon forwards, because Roscommon were transitioning the ball really fast up the pitch. They were really direct with long kick passes, and they've come forwards inside, and Conor Cox and Murtagh. Dublin structurally probably weren't as well set. On slower transitions, they were able to get Brian Howard and Keane Murphy back to kind of give that protection to Owen Merchant and Michael Fitzsimons. But there was loads of times in that first half where it was 2-on-2 inside to 45, which it doesn't matter who you are, you are going to struggle if guys are getting good ball in. And that was the case for Roscommon. So it was a really, it was 10-9 at half time, an enjoyable game, probably not the most intense. And I think that's a bit of a kick in the backside. Dublin would have got at half time. They only conceded the 4 points in the second half, and there was just a better energy around the middle third to give their full back line a bit of a dig out. You know, if there's no pressure on the ball going in and there's space, like you say, it doesn't matter who you are, you're under pressure. So it wasn't great from Dublin, but this is where it comes in, the depth that they can bring on. And we're talking about pace of the likes of Pat Armogan or Albon Gallagher on Donegal's side. Dublin brought on Jack McCaffrey, Sean Bugler and Paddy Small. Yeah. And they all had a massive impact. Just raw pace and power. And it was always
going to be goal.
Basquiel, sorry, came on as well. Current All-Stars. These guys are all absolute lightning quick. They all probably have a bit of a point to prove. You know, that's the depth of the squad that Dublin have been able to have. There doesn't seem to be many injuries, bar maybe James McCarthy, who wasn't in the squad. So they're moving up through the gears. But for Roscommon, Davey Burke, they've had a tough year, but I think there was positives, certainly for the guts of maybe three quarters of that match. They play Mayo at home this weekend, and what is probably season defining for them. If they can turn around that result from the Connacht semi-final last month, there's something to hang on to for Roscommon. But for Dublin, depth of squad, they've work to do on that defensive system. If teams are really, really direct, because Dublin are going to be brave, they're going to play bodies up the pitch, similar to what Kerry will play, probably Mayo play that way, and Derry, you are susceptible to being hit by counterattacks. So if a team is brave enough to kick the ball in and they have the good forwards to do it, that's a challenge for Dublin.
Murtagh, Cox and Craig, the three full forwards, kick all of Roscommon's scores. Now maybe they were lacking a little bit of support behind it. 8 of those were for play, and the first of the day was a mark from Cox. James, if Dublin and Kerry end up on the same side, say they top the group as you'd expect, and they end up on the same side for a semi-final, I put to you the question that I've put to Paddy already about the other side of the draw then. Where do you see Donegal getting to this year?
I think they'll definitely be in a semi, and then it just depends if they have that result in them. But like the four semi-finalists, it's very hard.
Donegal, Kerry, Derry again.
You've got Donegal, Derry, and you've got
and that could be a quarter-final.
No. Yeah, no, it is hard to call, but like I would still have Donegal right in there. Like, I think that I don't know what it is, but I just think there's something in Dublin that they could be caught.
Do you think they could be targeted?
Two things about the weekend. Their full-back line is absolutely there for the taking. Like, I'm sick
year,
of saying
year three.
It. I was... wide open. Huh? I could nearly go back. I kick 2 or 3 points aside there to stitch. Like, they are wide open. Petty, if you don't agree with me at this stage, you're just putting your head under the covers. Last year, they got away with it because, in fairness, Clifford had an off day with the shooting. They're wide open.
The second thing that I would say,
right, complimenting the Dubs, is their mindset, again, is so admirable. Like that, you said it, Tom, the game was tight, going down the stretch, and next thing, they just pull the trigger. We're gonna end this game now. And they do.
Even for the
counter-attack goal, they all just went it, used their legs, power, pace, good decision-making, accurate passing, easiest goal of all time. A lot of other teams, they'd nearly be holding the ball in that situation to say, oh, do you know, we'll hang on to what we have now. You got to go and win it. If that's the one thing that you take from Dublin, they just take it. They take it out of your hands when they get the chances.
Again, we played the clip earlier of Muggsy and going for it and how Tyrone didn't do it the last day. And Paddy was saying it as well. The style of play and not going for the throats will not serve you well.
No.
And I think they are.
That is the thing about Dublin. Even if they are being beaten in certain areas, that like once they're in the game, they can turn on a different level to other teams. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting. I honestly do believe that full forward line players like McGuigan and Clifford and Lang and these fellas, that whatever they are thinking before this weekend about Dublin, they will now have even more confidence going into that game. I think that they'll find a bit of excitement about playing Dublin for the way they set up at the moment because they leave the full back line open.
Dublin will come out and they play. So they accept that they'll give up chances. I would say Dublin are operating at 60% at the minute.
Yeah.
And you can see when you play as open as they do, you're relying on unbelievable intensity and pressure out the pitch to stop the ball going in. And Dublin did not have that on Saturday night. And that's the challenge for them, is mentally going, and they play Cavan on Saturday night in Breffni Park. Are they going to be jumping out of their skin at a million miles an hour?
No.
Of course, we'd like them to be like that, but the reality is they won't need to be to win that game. And it's the same. I put Kerry in this bracket as well. They're going through the gears. And if Dublin are playing an All-Ireland semi-final against a Donegal or a Kerry or a Derry or a Galway, they will be operating at that level. They're not going to change. And I think the biggest thing was how passive they were in the first half in their one-to-one battles, with the exception of, I thought John Small always plays at a million miles an hour and he goes to war, and he did that with Enda Smith, and he was wins well at the match. But I don't think mentally maybe other Dublin players were at that level on Saturday. And that's the challenge, because they didn't need to be, and they win the match by 12 points. So I hear you, Jimmy, around that, but I think Dublin's scope for improvement, and I would have confidence that they are going to continue to improve over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But they'll give teams chances. Of course they will, because that's the style of play. They'll go for it. They'll push up and they'll attack. And like I say, the other teams in that bracket, Kerry, I think Mayo play that way. Derry, to be fair. That's probably it, those type of teams. I think everyone else does. Galway, to an extent, they're always going to keep John Daly back. Donegal, obviously, are pretty well set there as well. But that's...
Okay.
I think that's
a fairly fair summation. I think there's merit in both of what you're saying.
The one thing I'd say on Donegal, because you asked about it there, if they were... I know Derry have had a bad 6 weeks. I still think Derry are serious. I said this last week after they lost to Galway. Galway, I have heard through the grapevine, is Damien Comer has got a bad knock. Is Damien Comer under pressure for a few weeks at least for Galway, which will be a massive, but we've said they've been hit with
that's season changing for them if he's missing.
Yeah.
I think we'll learn more.
He is that important to them, but we'll wait and hear for official confirmation. But yeah. I just think if Derry played Donegal again, are Derry going to be caught with their pants down as much as they were in Celtic Park in that Ulster quarter final?
If they play again, it would likely be in Croke Park, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Another game changer.
In quarter final potentially, would it? Probably.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Derry aren't going to top their group, which it doesn't look like they will. Derry are mad as we get, lads. We'll talk about that in our member show. But
definitely.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about on the member show. Lads, there was something I wanted to pick up on there, Paddy, but...
Well, Armagh did win a match this weekend against Westmeath.
That was it. Home. Never mentioned that. Armagh got the job done. So we will see.
I'll do a kick for you, Tommy.
Thank you. Lads, thanks for the very hard work this weekend. Just to rattle through the fixtures. Saturday, 1st of June, in the All-Ireland Series Round 2, we've got Cavan Dublin in Breffni Park. That's on GAA Go. We've got Roscommon Mayo at 5 o'clock, also on GAA Go. We've got Cork Donegal and Porky Rinn at 2:30 earlier that day. And then on Sunday, we have 5 games. So all 16 teams are in action. We've got Derry Armagh, Celtic Park, 4 o'clock, RTE, Monaghan Louth and Clonus, Westmeath Galway and Cusick Park, Meath Kerry, Parthalton. Oh God, that's an RTE as well. And Tyrone and Clare in
Healy Park
at 1:30. Yeah, so both of those games are on TV. There's a lot of football on. Sligo Antrim in the Tailteann Cup on Sunday. So it's the final round in the Tailteann Cup group stage. Sligo Antrim is actually on GAA Go from Breffni Park at 4 o'clock. It's the neutral round now. Wexford Tip, neither of them have won a game yet. That's 2 o'clock. Down Offaly, it's a doubleheader in Kingspan Breffni. Down and Offaly are on earlier that day as well. And then on Saturday in the Tailteann Cup, we've got Kildare and Leitrim, both of them on 4 points in their group. So the winners of that will top it. That's in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. It's a doubleheader with Fermanagh and Laois earlier that day. And then in Parnell Park, there's a doubleheader with Limerick London and Wicklow Carlo. And the final game would be Longford and Waterford. So there is a hell of a lot of football on this weekend. We'll be looking forward to it on our members pod. As I've said over the last few weeks, if you do decide to subscribe to Off the Ball over the next 2 months for the GAA alone, you will get a hell of a lot of value there. So we will be catching up later in the week. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thanks again for everything this weekend. Looking forward to our next live show. And thanks to everybody who tuned in.
Thanks, Tom.
Right, lads.
Cheers, boys.
See you, boys.